It's fall here in Portland, traditionally, the beginning of the holiday season, and this year we have even one more reason to celebrate. It's the 100th birthday of Portland Youth Philharmonic, America's longest-running youth orchestra, and certainly the first to turn 100. Dating back to 1924, PYP kicks off its historic season this Saturday, November 11th, at Portland's Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall. The program, titled This Midnight Hour, features works by Anna Klein, Camille Saint-Saëns, and Antonin Dvorak, and according to the concert notes, quote, takes listeners on a journey through the darkest hour into the uplifting embrace of daybreak. I think that journey, driven by the healing power of great music, is one we all can use about now. To help celebrate PYP's 100th season, and preview the opening concert, we're fortunate to have David Hattner, PYP's musical director, and Nolan Tu, winner of PYP's 2023 Piano Concerto competition. David, in the 100-year history of Portland Youth Philharmonic, there have been thousands of young musicians taking part, but only five musical directors. Not only an amazing record of longevity for the orchestra, but one of stability for the leadership. You started with PYP in 2008, so you're now entering your 16th year as musical director. How do you see your role in maintaining tradition, but also moving the organization forward?
Well, tradition has always played a big part in the orchestra. I was fortunate, as we've talked about before, to meet with Jacob Avshalomov
Mr. A.
who was the original keeper of tradition, because he played in the orchestra under its founder, Jacques Gershkovich, and learned by playing in the orchestra and living in the household of the Gershkovich with him and his wife, all about how it works. And then he added his own ideas specifically for programming and contemporary music and contemporary styles of doing things. And then Hugh Edwards and Mann Chen each put their own individual touches on the repertoire. But what always remained was this great spirit of whatever it takes to prepare the concert, that's what the assignment is. It's the assignment for the conductor. It's the assignment for the individual musicians. It's assignment for the parents and the staff and the board. It's whatever it takes at any time. That's the kind of organization we are. It's very easy, I like to say, to be an excuses-based organization, because so many things in life are difficult or challenging or impossible, if you want to think of them that way. And we're just, whatever it takes, that's what we're going to do. And the spirit remains amongst the musicians. They want very much to have a similar experience to their predecessors, and they know it's their responsibility to make that effort. At least a handful of musicians are second generation, so their parents played in the orchestra, and or at least one of their parents, so their expectations that their son or daughter will have that experience also exist. And of course, like you said, we have thousands of alumni, and as an alumnus of several things myself, not PYP specifically, sometimes we have this sort of hazy memory of how wonderful something was that may exceed the reality of what it even was. And so, you know, we want to make sure when we experience the modern version that it lives up to our dreamlike memory. But fortunately, most of the alumni, including some who serve on our board, they seem fairly content with this, how we're doing. I think some of what has changed is that the way adults and authority figures are relating to younger people is evolved, even in my 16 years here. I think there's a more respectful approach. Certain of the more blunt tools in our teaching toolkit have had to be mostly shelved, because not because they were necessarily wrong to use, but they're just not that effective anymore. I don't think they respond to the more aggressive outbursts that all of my predecessors and occasionally I have succumbed to over the years. So I try to keep the intensity very high, the demands very high, but I understand better than I did how deeply intelligent and committed these musicians are, not just to PYP, but to other things. And so I try to appeal to their sense of integrity about what their expectations should be of themselves, rather than to just be upset that they are not where I need them to be in any given moment. And it does seem to work, although we'll find out on Saturday if it's still working this year.
Speaking of which, that concert on Saturday, the 100th season opener, is titled This Midnight Hour, and it gets its name from the Anna Klein piece featured in the program. How'd you go about selecting the pieces to fit that theme? I think you usually start with the piano concerto competition winner's piece, which in this case is the Saint-Saëns Piano Concerto No. 2.
Yeah, we've often put the piano concerto winner, which we do every second year, on the opening concert. And I needed something that would contrast with the rather lighthearted and frothy nature of that Saint-Saëns concerto. It's not quite what you would call one of the more intellectual of the piano concertos. It's for fun and also to really delight the audience. And another thing that's delighted audiences for many, many years are pieces that have some terror in them. So while the Saint-Saëns is like a frothy concoction, Anna Klein's This Midnight Hour is a little like A Night on Bald Mountain from Mussorgsky. It's haunted. It's got sounds in it that are, some of them are dissonant, but mostly they're ominous. And then at the end, it transforms and becomes more like a hymn or a chorale, similar to what Night on Bald Mountain does. And so I thought, since audiences have always enjoyed these pieces that sound like they come from a scary movie, or actually come from a movie soundtrack, that they would really enjoy This Midnight Hour. And the invited guests we've had visit rehearsals of it were struck by its brilliant orchestration and just the power of its ideas. So I think it turned out to be a pretty good choice, but I just discovered it, like many people do on YouTube, by searching for Anna Klein, who's a well-known composer whose music is widely performed. And this piece really struck me as, like, that's something you could open a season with.
Now, it's described as a tone poem, and I'm quoting here, it suggests the shadowy, nocturnal world of film noir. Mm-hmm. Klein herself said it's inspired by two poems, Harmonie du Soir by Charles Baudelaire, and a very short poem that I could read the translation. It's called La Musica by Juan Ramon Jimenez. Robert Bly did the translation. It goes, music, a naked woman running mad through the pure night, which is such great imagery. How much background on a piece do you usually give the musicians when preparing the performance? Did you have them read the poems in this case?
I decided not to read the naked running through the night poem to the orchestra.
Based on their age? Or
No, I think sometimes the music really just speaks for itself. And this is one of those cases where that they can sense very easily what's going on in this piece, that it's not you know, it's not the morning mood from Peer Gynt, you know, with the twittering birds, and it's a little darker at night time. And so I haven't read the poems or talked about it in this case. Sometimes I will do that, but they're a curious bunch, and they've probably learned most of what they need to know from practicing the notes and listening to each other's parts in rehearsal.
And I don't know if they may have even tracked down, like I did, some of the interviews that that Klein did based on the piece. So it inspired her, but it doesn't necessarily have to inspire the musicians. They've got the music in front of them.
Right. I don't think that today's young students are spending a lot of time worrying about Baudelaire. he was sort of a punchline when I was a student. So.
Nolan, you're the soloist on Saint-Saëns Piano Concerto No. 2, which you played when you won PYP's 2023 Piano Concerto Competition. What inspires you about this piece as a musician?
So what basically inspired me to play the Saint-Saëns Piano Concerto for this competition was because that upon listening to many of the different piano concertos out there, the Saint-Saëns Piano Concerto No. 2 has a vast amount of melodies throughout the piece. And throughout the second movement, there's a bunch of playful and more beautiful melodies, and I feel like I really enjoyed it a lot. And aside from that, with the themes that show up in the first and third movements, I believe that they like resonate with me a lot because of the emotional journey. And so, yeah, I'm excited to be able to express that to the audience soon.
Now, when did you start playing piano and what attracted you to the instrument? I read that you began music training at age 6 and then started studying the piano at age 7, so very early.
So my parents, my mom and dad, listened to a lot of classical music CDs when I was younger. So I've been around music a lot. And my sister also started playing piano when she was young. So it was before I turned 7. So I've been listening to a bunch of classical music and also piano. So when I was a kid and I heard my sister playing piano, I was really like excited, and I also wanted to be able to play the piano. So
If she could do it, I can, huh?
So when I was 7, I started learning the piano, and yeah.
You're now a high school senior, so you've been playing for quite a few years, even though you're still very young. And in addition to your academic and your piano studies, you're also on the school swim team. Do you see a connection between playing piano and competitive swimming, maybe in terms of the discipline required?
For the discipline, there is a pretty big amount of connection between any type of instrument you want to play or any field that you're interested in doing. Because throughout my experience, if you want to get better or improve on whatever you do, there's a lot of focus you have to put into it and a lot of hard work. So for piano, you would practice a lot, put a lot of effort into that. And for swimming, you would also have to do the same. Because, like, if I would want to improve in, let's say, just any stroke in general, I would have to work on that a lot, maybe talk to the coach, which also kind of applies with piano, with your teacher and stuff.
What are your plans for continuing your studies after you graduate high school? Are you considering a career in music?
So for the career in music, I'm not really sure as of now, but I know for sure that after I graduate high school, I still want to continue doing music. So apart from music, I'm also interested in either any science or engineering related field. So I'll have to be able to balance those two. And then when I have more experience with both of them, I guess the career would start panning out in my head.
So still kind of early, but there's a lot of ways you can go. You're very talented in several areas, but probably not a competitive swimmer professionally. That might be tough.
Probably not.
Now it's the 100th anniversary of Portland Youth Philharmonic. Incredible, going back to 1924 when they started in Eastern Oregon. How have you grown as a musician and as a person during your time in PYP?
So the time I've spent with PYP was pretty short because it was just rehearsals with them with my concerto. That probably was like 5 days total. But I feel like this was a really big experience for me because I haven't had the opportunity to work with the orchestra for such a long period of time, especially a youth orchestra. And just being around them was really inspiring because the members that consisted of the orchestra were all, around my age. So they probably have the same amount of goals or future plans with what they want to do with music. So that was inspiring. And also, I was able to grow a lot as a person and as a musician working with PYP because I faced more, unseen opportunities like working with the orchestra and balancing out concerto moments. So,
And now you're part of that long storied history by participating and actually being the soloist in the 100th season opening concert. It's
really excited.
It's a point of pride. Well, David, we'll be back previewing the rest of PYP's 100th season before each concert through May 2024. But I just want to mention the very special final concert, which takes place May 31st. That will feature the very first piece performed by PYP, Schubert's Unfinished Symphony. That's very appropriate.
Yes, I've never done it. All of my predecessors on one anniversary or another did the Unfinished. So I thought it would be appropriate to have Hugh Edwards conduct it. And in fact, he's going to conduct the entire first half of the 100th anniversary concert, because he's also due to conduct the Academic Festival Overture on December 26th and on May 31st. And he had requested to do some English music and suggested Benjamin Britten's 4C interludes from Peter Grimes, which is tremendous work. And I'm just thrilled that they'll have the opportunity to play these works with someone who knows them so deeply and is such an important historic figure in the history of the organization.
And also Thomas Lauderdale of Pink Martini will be there, and Hunter Nowak. They'll be performing George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue, so that's quite a program.
Yes, I'm excited about that. Thomas played the Rhapsody in Blue with the orchestra and Mayan Chen probably about 20 years ago. And he and Hunter and I performed their special version of the Rhapsody in Blue for four hands and orchestra with the Oregon Symphony in 2021, I believe it was, as part of the Pink Martini Valentine's performances that year. And we just had such a great time doing it. And they also really would like an opportunity to record it. And it's hard for them to get the opportunity to record it with a professional orchestra because of all the union regulations. So we're going to do a bunch of things with this performance. But the most important thing is that we'll be celebrating the 100th anniversary. Thomas Lauderdale has been a big fan of the Portland Youth Philharmonic since he was a student at Grant High School and had many friends in the orchestra and wrote articles about it for one of the local newspapers. And of course, Pink Martini has performed with the Oregon Symphony on, I believe, five separate New Year's Eves during my time here. So we've worked together quite a bit, and we admire each other's work very much.
Now, talking about that legacy, that Thomas Lauderdale, I mean, he's looking just at a small part of it. You're going back to the turn of the century, pretty much. A new exhibit is celebrating your centennial. It opened at the Oregon Historical Society just last week. It's called Sagebrush to Stumptown, Portland Youth Philharmonic's Astonishing First Century, and it runs through February 4th. I think you were there at the opening ceremonies last week. Mm-hmm. What can listeners expect to see when we come to visit?
A wonderful photograph. The young musicians of the orchestra have made great photographic subjects, not surprisingly, for all of that time. And photographs of the conductors, of course, and artifacts from programs to record jackets to tour paraphernalia, some artwork, and an audio loop of some historic moments from the orchestra's history on the radio, and some video projections as well of each of the conductors, and some alumni interviews and so forth. So it's really, it's not an exhibit that will take tons and tons of time to go through, but it's been very nicely curated by Kristen Knapp, our alumni relations coordinator. And she spent a lot of time going through an enormous number of possibilities that could have been displayed. And I think chose really wisely, along with some expert advisors and the curators from the Historical Society, this lovely exhibit, which features an extraordinary blown up version of the Sagebrush Orchestra, which Mary Dodge founded in Harney County in the second decade of the 20th century. And in 1916, they took a picture on a 4th of July float that was built for them. And it's a very fun picture that many people have seen because of the documentary that Oregon Public Broadcasting did about the Sagebrush Orchestra about a dozen years ago. So I think people should stop by and see it. It won't take up your whole day. And
what a great opportunity to go back in time.
Yeah, you'll learn
a
little more about this really remarkable organization that's still going.
And David, where can listeners find out more about PYP and purchase tickets that they'd like for either the Schnitzer or a live stream?
Right. So you can buy a live stream or in-person concert tickets. There are still good seats available, and even on the keyboard side of the auditorium, at portlandyouthphil.org. And there'll be a banner most likely at the top of that page advertising this concert, which you can click on, and it will take you to the ticket purchase page. So if you can't remember that, just type Portland Youth Philharmonic. That's Philharmonic with a PH, and you'll find us.
Well, David, thanks so much for joining us today and for taking time out during a very busy week. Not only the opening concert, but you mentioned you're also down in Corvallis. You'll be conducting the orchestra there too. I just want to wish PYP a very happy 100th and many more years to come.
Thanks, Ken. It's great to have you as a fan. I know you came to just about everything last year.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, last year you did Beethoven's Ninth, my first. And my very first PYP concert was Beethoven's Fifth a few years back. So I've enjoyed every single one. And man, they don't play like their kids. That's for sure.
No, they never have. And that's part of the wonderment of new audience members, of whom you saw many at that Beethoven Ninth concert. There were hundreds of people who had never heard the orchestra before, and I read through some of the survey responses that we send out, and people are just astonished, not just that the musicians play like that, but that they didn't realize that this orchestra was here and that they could come hear it. So I hope many people will take this opportunity to come celebrate the orchestra's 100th and be downtown. Tickets are inexpensive. That's been part of the mission of the orchestra as well, as a chance to be at the Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall and support our orchestra, support downtown Portland in its continuing hour of need of people, and just to have a wonderful, warm experience.
We've been talking with David Hattner, musical director of the Portland Youth Philharmonic, and Nolan Tu, winner of PYP's 2023 Piano Concerto Competition. David will be conducting the opening concert for PYP's historic 100th season with Nolan as soloist on Saint-Saëns Piano Concerto No. 2 this Saturday, November 11th, at Portland's Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall, starting at 7:30 p.m. You can find out more online and purchase tickets if you like at portlandyouthphil.org. This is Ken Jones for KBOOS News In Depth.